Blog Talk Radio.
Hodge the Hodge podcast here tonight with a special podcast. When we discuss, we're going to discuss injury compensation. You know, if you listen to my podcast, I usually keep a very interesting musical selection to open up. Sometimes it matches the subject matter. Sometimes it's just something I felt like hearing. But tonight, again, this is one of the informative podcasts in the series that we do. And tonight we're going to be talking with two subject matter experts, again, owners of their own business. And their business is designed to keep you informed. So before I do as I normally do, monopolize this microphone, I'm going to go ahead and introduce Chris and Jenny. Hey, Chris and Jenny, how you doing this evening?
Hey, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. How is everyone?
Okay. Hold on 1 second. We had a little technical difficulty. Let's try that again. Hey, Chris and Jenny, how you doing this evening?
Very good. Good to talk to you.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
Okay. That's how we like to welcome you to the podcast. Hey, listen. Listeners. Again, every once in a while, as I go about my daily business, I get introduced to or I discover situations or adventures, careers that I think are going to be a benefit to mail handlers. And tonight is one. Again, Chris and Jenny is going to talk to you about injury compensation. And before I turn the microphone back over to them, they're not postal employees. So, again, that should already tell you that the information we're going to hear tonight is going to be more accurate than information we're used to hearing. So, hey, let me give you the mic for a second, Chris and Jenny, and tell us what it is that you can do for the mail handler.
Yeah, so we have offices called Federal Injury Centers. And in these offices, we specialize in getting OWCP injury claims accepted. And so the problem is only 3% of federal employees each year have accepted claims. And so anybody that's interested in OWCP because you've had a claim or you know somebody that has, you're all probably thinking, well, you know, this OWCP thing is a scam. Well, the problem is you don't get a case accepted. You lose all your time, all your money, your benefits, you're not able to get help. And the next thing you know, you're working through pain and you're contemplating going on disability. And so those are things that we help you avoid by getting your claims accepted, and we're very good at it. So that's what we're here for. And what we've seen is that around the country, there's not nearly enough doctors. There may never be enough doctors. And so we're just kind of going around as fast as we can and teaching doctors to do this so that you finally have doctors who know how to get claims accepted.
So now, when you say teaching doctors, that, you know, that sounds kind of broad. So in other words, Hogan, I don't know. When you say teaching doctors, what does that mean? Teaching doctors?
Yeah, so everything A to Z. Okay, we want them to understand what a CA1 and a CA2 form is, and we want them to know what boxes to look at on the second page of a CA1, where a supervisor can write something bad and hose a case. And also, they have to be familiar with the forms, but they also have to be expert at writing causation narratives. The key to the whole thing is writing a narrative that gets case accepted. And so we teach doctors how to use the right detail and the right format when they're making their medical decisions to put it down into a narrative that will get a claim accepted the first time. And so that's really the core of what we teach them. No more denied claims. Yeah, we say this all the time. A federal employee can go anywhere to get a denied claim. It's the easiest thing in the world. The hard part is getting accepted. So we teach doctors to write narratives that get cases accepted.
And let me say to any federal employee who's listening to this podcast, and please understand the information that's being put out, because and the reason I say understand, how often, I'm willing to bet you everybody knows somebody who worked in some federal employment and probably damaged for the rest of their life and never received any compensation because they didn't know the process to file a claim. And one of the things that I like about Chris and Jenny's organization is they're going to involve you in that process so that if you have it, if you are deserving of it, then they're going to make sure that you get it.
Yeah, and you know what? You said something really important there, that people don't know what to do, how to file a claim. And so we try to teach federal employees. You know, we train the doctors to get a claim accepted, right, to write the great narratives. But we also try to train federal employees through involvement in unions, through our you know, Facebook Live, through, you know, meetings like this. This podcast is incredible. I'm excited about it. But we try to teach them what to do themselves when they get hurt. There's a form out there called a CA-10, what a federal employee should do when injured at work. So the CA-10, it says at the bottom of the page, post on employee's bulletin board, right? But I ask people all the time, who's ever seen this form? And nobody's ever seen it. Well, it was last revised 31 years ago. For 31 years, they haven't even changed, you know, redotted I's or crossed T's, okay? It's never changed. And it tells federal employees what to do so they can file a work injury claim. But nobody's heard of this form. And so everyone tonight should get the form, print it, take it to work, and post it on your bulletin board where it belongs. You can find this form on my website, federalinjurycenters.com, which is a place where you can find every relevant form. We're just trying to make this process easier for federal employees. Step one is know your rights, know your responsibilities, and that one sheet of paper will tell you what to do so that it's not such a mystery and you can get your claim accepted. The other reason, aside from not having enough doctors, the other reason so few people have accepted claims is they don't know what to do to even start the process. And so that's why we like to teach the CA-10. So everyone should get real familiar with the CA-10 form. It's super important.
You know, most people just want to go to work, get paid, and go home, and then just keep that cycle going. But every once in a while, and again, that's why we call them accidents, and that's why they result in injuries. It's going to happen at work, and my goal, again, as a branch president, is to make sure that I just want to put information out so that you understand what should happen and not understand what someone else told you. Because, again, Chris has already emphasized that CA-10. So what the information that you're receiving, you can go ahead and download it and read it for yourself so we don't fall into that vicious cycle of, I thought he knew, but he told me wrong, and now it stays wrong. So, again, you can download your CA-10, and you can read this stuff and educate yourself also. So, Chris, if someone, just say, for example, if someone in Ohio was injured what benefit, or is there a benefit that your agency could do for them?
Well, one thing we can do for sure is make sure they know how to report and file the injury, okay, the claim. If that doesn't happen, nothing, you know, then step one, you're never getting a claim accepted if you refuse to file or don't know how. So the first thing we do is we'll show you what to do. The second thing, we are well aware that it's nearly impossible to find doctors. We get calls from all over the country of places where we just don't know any doctors. But Jeannie especially will go online and help navigate the ACS website and try to find doctors that way. The other thing we're able to do, if someone's willing, is they can drive or fly, because it's a federal program. You don't have to stay in your own state. You can go out of state to get help. That's a pain, okay? And I don't like that for anybody. But each person has to make their own personal decision on how they want to choose a doctor. But for sure, choosing the wrong doctor will absolutely get your claim denied. Okay, that's why only 3% of people have accepted claims. And so some people find it useful to go a long distance to get their claim accepted. But outside of that, we'll help people find doctors when it's possible, but it's not always possible. I was calling around in the state of Alabama two or three weeks ago looking for an orthopedic surgeon who would accept OWCP. I literally called 10 offices before the first one said yes. They just don't want it. Because they don't understand how to get paid, and doctor's offices, you know, they want to get paid. And so because they can't figure out how, they won't take the claim. When the secret to the whole thing is to get the case accepted.
Now, let me interrupt you just for a second, Chris, to make sure I heard you right. You mean there's somebody somewhere who got an OWCP case, it was accepted, and they were authorized to go to a doctor, and there was no doctor he could go to?
So, yeah, if there's no doctor, I'm not sure that I understand your question, but if the case is accepted, you can go to any place to get treated.
Right.
Okay, so if you can just get your case accepted, your odds of being able to find somebody that will take on your claim go way up, because getting the case accepted is the hard part.
All right.
The other thing you can do, if you can't find a doctor, and this is a pain, but there are forms for reimbursement. And so if you have to go someplace and use your private health insurance, you can be paid back for any money you paid out of your pocket for that if your claim gets accepted.
And again, how would the average employee know that?
Well, the average employee does not know that. That's why we do these things, trying to get the word out. But for me, you know, there's nearly 3 million federal employees. There's so many postal employees, and this isn't getting taught. Nobody's being trained on OWCP. And I would challenge anyone to show me that in the training manual that you guys have where it tells them what to do when they get hurt. So, you know, the first thing people can do is you got to seek out this information. We're trying to make it easier on our website. We've got videos that show you how to fill out forms. We have the forms themselves. So we're trying to help the hard stuff, you know, where people are just really confused. We're trying to solve those problems on our website. But they need to go to their unions. You know, it's awesome that you're doing this. Union presidents and stewards need to be helpful. We have a really great steward training. Because when your stewards are trained at this, it makes it awfully hard for people to not get help.
Right, and that's one of the that's in fact. Hold on 1 second. One of my we just had a call. Hey, Rob, how you doing this evening? We in the Postal Service, injury compensation is a management function. Now, a couple of folks in a couple of organizations, a couple of folks have their own trained injury compensation. In fact, I'm sorry, I was pausing because a gentleman who used to do my injury compensation, he's back on. So a couple of organizations have people trained on injury comp because the post office, they have an injury compensation department. But again, that's a managerial function. And most times the information that they put out is not really helpful to the employee. If I'm making any sense. I'm trying to put this as political.
I wouldn't imagine. I wouldn't imagine that anything that management's doing when it comes to OWCP is going to be that helpful. In fact, you know, I've listed two reasons why claims don't get accepted. Well, there's a third reason as well, and it's management. And you know, far too often management gives out bad information. They direct patients or they direct employees to go to urgent cares or maybe a company doctor, right? Well,
right.
You know, people need to realize they have the right to choose their own doctor. You do not have to go where the manager tells you to go. The law allows you to choose your own doctor. But when you get sent to, say, an urgent care, now you've got a whole new set of problems because who's going to see you at the urgent care? A nurse practitioner, okay, 9 times out of 10. And so the nurse practitioner is going to sign off on some stuff, and guess what? Department of Labor is going to say, we don't recognize the nurse practitioner's authority here, denied. And so you've got management sending you to some place that's going to definitely get the claim denied. So people need to understand they have a right to choose that doctor. If you go where management sends you, you're probably going to have a problem. The other thing management does is they try to persuade people not to file their claims by threats, you know, by intimidation.
No.
And
wait a minute, Chris.
You ever heard of that before?
Not all managers.
So I know it may come as a surprise to you, but that happens. So there are some laws, and you can actually find these on the USPS site, that says a manager – says some other things, but I'm going to paraphrase it here. A manager who prevents an employee from filing a work injury claim can be imprisoned up to a year. Okay? A manager who makes a fraudulent or makes a false statement in connection with an OWCP claim can be imprisoned 5 years. So managers don't even know that there's a heavy punishment for what they do, you know, on a daily basis to the people. And so you, like, a threat of being fired, would you say that that's something that might prevent someone from filing a work injury?
Very much so. Well, very much so.
Yeah, well, that manager could go to jail for a year for that. So, you know, we need to start getting that word out that, listen, you can't mess with us anymore. There's going to be punishment for this, and you know that starts with unions. You know, filing you guys file your grievances, but also contacting OSHA, and you know, letting them know this is an unsafe situation. I'm injured, and my manager is threatening my job. What do you want me to do here, OSHA? And you know, they don't want that to happen. So, but management persuades people not to file their claims, and that's a serious problem.
And you know, you're right. It is a serious problem. But again, and people, once they're educated on the possibility of that happening, then they can pick up the little subtle ways that it might happen. So, you know, sometimes it might not be as openly as, I'm going to tell you, I'll fire you. But I'm going to give you enough emphasis to let you know that it could happen. So, again, this is why I like putting out these type of podcasts, because I want to educate employees. Again, we got a lot of rights out there that if we are not aware of them, we forsake them. We give them up because we don't work for the type of organization. And I'm going to come right back to injury compensation. We don't work for the type of organization that is going to bring that to the forefront for us. So we have to make sure we keep ourselves in the know. Now, if we just move right along, and if I can, just go through with just a quick scenario. I'm at work. Say, for example, I'm at work, and while I'm at work, another employee comes by pushing a piece of equipment and runs over my foot. What process – I mean, I'm just thinking, give me a – how would you address that scenario, or how do you think that employee should address a scenario – something similar as that?
All right, so something, you know, a cart runs over someone's foot. You got two things happening now, okay? You had one person who was pushing the cart and one person whose foot got ran over, right?
Right.
So the person whose foot got run over has got to go get a CA1 from the supervisor. A CA1 form is the form for filing your injury when you have an injury that happens in a single work shift, right? So you got to go to the management and say, hey, this injury happened. I need to fill out a CA-1 form right away. Okay. Well, that person who was pushing the cart should be a good friend and be a witness. And the witness statement, box 16 of the CA-1, is for a witness. And so the person pushing the cart can say, yeah, you know, this happened. It was an accident, whatever. And so now you've got the person who was injured and the story. I'm using air quotes when I say story because I don't mean that as it's false, right?
But I understand.
What happened, the explanation, is can be seconded by the witness. So in that scenario you gave, that's how I would handle that. And so you fill out the CA-1 form with the supervisor, and you sit there while this is happening, okay? What a lot of people do, the supervisor will say, look, let me fill out my portion, which is the second page, and get back to you. But what I teach people is, no, sit right there and watch the supervisor fill it out, because there are some boxes on page 2 that could really damage a case. Supervisors are asked, for example, do your knowledge of the facts of this case coincide with the story of the employee? Well, if the supervisor says no, that could hurt the case, right? It could prevent it from being accepted. So we want to know what they say in that instance. There's a question that says, was the injury, did it happen in the performance of duty? Well, you know, if the supervisor says no, we may have a problem we have to fix. And so you want to sit there with them while they fill out their part. And then there's a part of the CA-1 and a CA-2 form as well. It's called a receipt or notice of receipt. So you got to get that. And so what you want to do is get a copy of the whole CA-1 packet, okay, because the supervisor, you know, they're filling it out. You filled it out. Get a copy of the whole thing. They now, the supervisor, has 10 days from that day to turn it into DOL. Okay, so you want to get a copy of the whole thing, including the receipt that's part of it, so you can prove that you reported. Okay, and then now it's just kind of a waiting game. But that's how you handle it. Anytime you get injured, you immediately report to the supervisor. That form CA-10 that I talked about, what a federal employee should do when injured at work,
right.
The first part of that form, it's broken down into 5 pieces. The first thing says report. So it says report as soon as possible, but I teach it report now. Report just right away.
Now, let me
that's how you handle it.
Yeah. Now, here's something that they do in the Postal Service. Based on the exact scenario, someone got hit by a moving object, pushed by someone else, not powered equipment, that employee would have the option of doing a CA-1 or doing what the Postal Service calls a declination statement, which states, I was injured today. I am not requesting. I was involved in an accident or I was some kind of injury, but I'm not requesting medical documentation. And the Post Office accepts that most cases in lieu of the CA-1. Now, let me ask you, if the Postal Service have you fill out that declination statement, how much time from that statement do you have under federal guidelines to actually file your CA-1? Is there a time limit on that?
Well, so first of all, that statement that the Postal Service wants you to fill or file, whatever, declining, that's nowhere in the rules, okay? You can read Department of Labor website until you get cross-eyed. You're not going to find that anywhere. The Code of Federal Regulations doesn't have it either. You can't waive your rights. You can't be forced to waive your rights. OWCP is a right given to all federal employees. I, number one, would say I would never sign that paper. I would never willingly sign away my rights. And it sounds like that's what that does. Now, I'd never get stumped. But tonight I'm a little stumped because I've never heard of that before. But anybody that can hear me right now, anybody that can hear my voice, I'm telling you, never sign that form, ever.
See, now,
never sign that form.
And listen,
can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
Part of that reason for that form is a lot of the people that we work with at the post office don't realize that they may be seriously injured. They just say, oh, it hurts a little bit. I'm good. They don't want to go to the doctor because they don't want the hassle. All right. But with the post office, if they sign that form, unless within a couple of hours they say, I've got to go to the doctor, the post office can use that form to deny it.
Yeah,
they tried to do that to me.
They'll use it to controvert the claim. And so box 35 on page 2 of the CA-1 form, it says, is there any reason to controvert this claim? Well, if the employee writes a statement or signs a statement saying I'm not hurt, that's a pretty good reason to controvert the claim, right? But you're right. Sometimes the symptoms come on later, and I would never sign that ever. And you have 3 years to report an injury. Do you know you have 3 years?
3 years or one year to see a one.
3 years from the date of injury. Okay,
see,
and
now,
on a CA-2, it's 3 years. 3 years from the date you knew it was work related.
You know,
and so never, ever, ever decline to get help. Never.
Now,
do that.
Now let me say this because I don't want to misrepresent that form. Again, I hear what you say. Now, and Rob, correct me if I'm wrong. That form says, "I got hurt, but I'm not requesting medical attention at this time." Now, from my understanding, and I got a real good understanding, that form stops the supervisors from the filing the paperwork involved in reporting an accident. That form allows management to say, okay, we are aware it happened. You have declined medical attention at this time. And that's my understanding of that form. Now, you're right, because I've worked with other injury comp personnel. And that's something that the post office added. And you're right, you won't find that in Department of Labor anywhere. You won't. So that's one of those things that the post office says, I'm going to give you in addition to the other regulations.
Yeah. By the way, it's box 36. I said 35. It's 36 for controversial. But
right.
Yeah, definitely don't sign that. You have 3 years to report your injury. So, you know, if your foot gets run over in the office today and you keep walking on it and it feels fine all day long until you get home and then it swells up like a, you know, grapefruit, well, you just declined coverage. You said you're not hurt. And so now maybe they're gonna say, well, yeah, you weren't hurt at work. You were playing basketball on the weekend. So, yeah, that's really dirty. So just pass the word not to sign that form. That's dirty.
Well, again, I'm going to say this to you. That form has been in existence in the post office, I'm going to say, at least the last 15 years.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I've never had anybody who got hurt and said they were asked to fill that out, or so that's why I was just so surprised. I've been involved in more than 1,000 OWCP cases. Okay. I've just never seen it once. But if I did, I'd say no, burn that. Definitely burn that.
Okay. Well,
wow.
Trust me, I'm not disagreeing with you, Chris. Hey, but listen, as we talk about that CA-1, again, so once you – okay, let's get past the declination form. So now you fill your CA-1 out. Now, how much time – I'm talking Department of Labor standards, not post office standards. From the time I'm injured, how much time do I have to complete and submit my CA-1 to the supervisor? So in other words, what I'm trying to say is, if I get hurt on the first of the month, now, am I obligated to let somebody know I got hurt without filling out a CA-1? Or is the CA-1 the only real way I have to prove I got injured?
So the CA-1 is the only way to get a claim started with Department of Labor.
Okay.
Reporting the injury is not enough. Just going to the supervisor and saying I got hurt is not good enough. I talked to a postal employee a couple of months ago who, over a six-year period, told six different supervisors that she was having a problem, and all six supervisors did everything except say, have you ever heard of a CA form? Nobody helped this lady. And so she didn't know any of the rules, so for 6 years, she didn't even know that there was such a thing as OWCP. So, you know, telling your supervisor, It's step one. You have to report, right? Step three on that CA-10 form says fill out a CA-1. So you got to report the injury, and then you got to fill out the form. But all this should happen at once. How long do you have, though? You have 3 years to report it. There's a funny question on the CA-1 or that says, you know, if it's longer than 30 days, why? If it's longer than 30 days since the date of injury, tell us why. I just want to say because I can. Because the law says 3 years, and I decided to wait a little longer, you know. But you have 3 years to fill it out. But if you wait, you start losing benefits. So on a CA-1 claim, you should report it immediately and request what's called a CA-16. And most people have never heard of the CA-16. But the CA-16 pays your bills for 60 days. Well, you have to understand, the claim's not going to be accepted yet. And so if you have this CA-16 form, it'll pay all of your bills, pharmacy bills, chiropractic, medical, surgical. It pays your bills for the first 60 days. Well, if you wait more than 7 days to report your injury, you're no longer eligible for that form. So a
wait
form
a minute,
that pays
Chris,
all your bills,
Chris,
that's
hold,
good.
Hold on 1 second, Chris. Could you please say that again? Because, again, I've been dealing with injury compensations for over 20 years, and you just said something I've never heard before. Say
well,
about,
hey,
tell me about that CA-16.
You are in a highly populated club, okay? Everybody hasn't heard of this until I say it the first time. A form CA-16 is authorization for exam and treatment. And if you report your injury within 7 days of the injury, we're only talking about CA-1, okay? This doesn't apply to CA-2 claims. But
okay,
if you report within 7 days, you're eligible for a CA-16. Okay, so the CA-16 pays all of your bills for 60 days or when the claim gets accepted, whichever happens first. So if the claim gets accepted, say, on day 35, well, then the CA-16 is no longer valid, okay? Because your claim's accepted now, and all your bills are going to get paid.
Okay.
But in the meantime, while you're waiting on it to get accepted, that 16 pays your bills.
Now I have to ask, what if your claim is rejected? Are they going to recoup
so
that?
If you're no. So that's the good news. If your claim is ultimately not approved, it pays your bills for those 60 days, and that's it. They're not going to come and get the money back from you, okay? So that's the good news. Now, there is a danger. We haven't talked about COP yet, but you have to pay COP back if your claim's not accepted. But let's don't mix the two up.
Okay.
On a CA-16, it pays your bills for 60 days. Now, I told you have to request it within 7 days. But here's what anybody that knows about the CA-16, what I'm about to say next, nobody's ever heard of this. When you request a CA-16, the supervisor has 4 hours to hand it to you. So they have 4 hours from when you request it to give it to you. Four hours and one minute, I'm thinking grievance.
Now, I got to ask, Chris, where would I find that? Because you're right, I've never heard that, and I want to read that.
So I've got it on a document. I'll email it over to you. I've got
okay.
It
all right.
comes
That's
from
good.
The Code of Federal Regulations. I'll send it over to you.
Okay.
Hey, Kenny?
Yes.
I would like a copy of that because I went through the OWCP database, and they pulled the CA-16 from the database. It's not in there.
Oh, yeah, it's gone. Yeah, you can't find it. So
okay.
It used to be on, you could search OWCP forms, and you could click on a CA-16 and look at it. And then they made it to where you can't click on it or print it at all. And but look at what kind of power it has. It pays the bills for 60 days, and so they're not just going to let them, they're not out there. If you want to see what one looks like, I've got a PDF of one on my website.
Okay. So now, once... I'm sorry,
Kenny. Can I ask another question that's very relevant to this?
Sure.
The CA-16 pays the bills. What I'm going to say is a recommendation. Every doctor you go to is going to want your health insurance information. Do not give it to them.
Agreed.
They'll
pressure you and ask you
and all kinds of things and say, no, this is workers' comp, federal workers' comp. You charge them.
Right, and so the problem is that the doctors don't know anything about federal workers' comp, and they're not willing to wait to get paid, which is a shame, okay? We've got 7 locations right now, plus a lot of other doctors that I've just trained around the country that never take a penny from federal employees, never ask for insurance cards, and know that on the strength of a medical narrative, they'll get the case accepted, and there's nothing to worry about. All the bills are going to get paid anyways. But too many doctors just don't understand how to get a claim accepted. They don't understand when they don't get paid, it's because they did a bad job. And do a better job, and you have a better chance of getting paid. And you're helping people out who need their claim accepted. But I definitely would not give anybody my insurance card, and we practice that. We don't ask for any insurance cards. OWCP is your right. as a federal employee. And if you go with your health insurance, you're abandoning your rights.
See, and that's powerful because if I'm injured and I'm at the hospital, say I have a work-related injury. In fact, I went to the hospital from work. Well, I'm relatively certain that work's going to pick that up, relatively certain. So when the doctor asks me for my personal health insurance, I'm going to say to him, yeah, it's a work-related injury. And then they're going to say, well, we just need that anyway, and I'm probably going to give it to them. But if I have that CA1 and that CA16, well, that guarantees your payment, so there's no reason to have mine.
Oh, yeah. Doctors should welcome anybody with a CA16.
Yeah, and even if you don't have it, you still refuse. That's what I've done both times I've been injured. I refuse to give it to them. And yes, you will get bills from the various doctors and hospitals. You just call them back when your claim is approved and say, this is the claim number, bill it.
Yep, exactly right.
Hey, you know, I'm always, like I said, I've been doing this for quite a while. And I'm always startled when I think I've covered mostly all subject matters, but then I hear about the CA-16 tonight in the actual reason it's used. I'm kind of baffled a little bit, so, but I enjoy it, make no mistake about that. But, you know, one other thing I'd like to just touch on real quick, because we've got about 8 minutes left, is the CA-2. And before we talk about the CA-2, I want to say to my podcast audience, it is my intent and desire to have Jeannie and Chris back on this podcast. So tonight we've got a pretty wide brush as we do our intro, but we're going to come back and go into a lot more detail about some of these items that we're talking about. All right. So if I might, hey, good evening. I got a new caller on. Good evening, caller. How you doing this evening?
You talking to me?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing this evening?
I'm great. How are you?
Okay, outstanding. We're gonna talk about a CA-2 for a quick second. And
good.
The reason I say CA-2 is because a CA-2, and Chris, if I'm putting out bad information, please interject. A CA-2 is a little different from the CA-1 because you now have the burden of proof to prove your case. But a CA-2 essentially says, it's not an injury, it's an illness. It may have happened before you may have had the initial contact with the injury or illness before you worked at the post office. Now, through working at the post office, your current working condition exacerbated a previous condition, and now you can file that workers on a CA-2. And Chris, please embellish on that, if you would, because I have a hard time getting members to understand that.
Yeah, so that's definitely true. One of the reasons for a CA-2 is it will definitely cover a pre-existing condition that is made worse by the job.
Right.
But actually, its primary purpose is because, any job at the post office where you're doing this repetition for years, and people work at the post office for 10, 20, 30 years, right? Well, it's
right.
For anything that develops over two or more shifts, 2 or more weeks, months, years. And so anything that develops over time is reported using a CA-2 form. So anything that develops over time, including
okay.
pre-existing conditions that are worsened by the job.
Okay.
Yes, currently trying to get a CA-2 claim number. And from what I'm reading on the CA-2, you have to see a doctor before you turn it in to get your claim number. But the
yes.
doctor doesn't want to see you until you get the claim number. So I'm having trouble. You're telling me one thing. Of course, my union's telling me a different thing on how to do it. And I'm at a standstill. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, you definitely need that doctor before you – again, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong. When it comes to that CA-2 – you see the doctor comes before the form, because there's two dates in there that the doctor, I don't have the boxes on the top of my head, but there's two appointment dates.
Yeah, you're right.
That makes that so important. So yes, you have to see that doctor, because when you do a CA-1, A CA-1 says you got hurt here. The post office has to prove
right.
you didn't. When you do a CA-2, you have to prove it happened. So, yes, you definitely have to see that doctor before that form goes in.
So actually, you can fill this out prior to seeing the doctor. Now, if you want to see the doctor first, you're definitely going to have better information to put in box, 13 and 14, okay, which is explaining the injury. But you don't have to see a doctor first. A lot of people think that you do, but truthfully, what the CA-10, what a federal employee should do when injured at work, it says, number one, report your injury. So it says, first, before anything else, report your injury. The second thing it tells you is you can choose your own doctor and get a CA-16 if it's a CA-1 form. And the third thing it says is fill out a CA-1 or CA-2, but you haven't seen the doctor yet. So it is okay to fill it out. Most of us are going to use, lay terms. When I hurt my knee, I don't know which of the four ligaments I hurt or if it's a tendon. I know I hurt my knee. And so I injured my knee doing whatever. That's okay, and then you can take it to a doctor. The boxes that you're talking about are box 11 and 12. Those are the dates, right, in question. So 11 is the date you first became aware that this is a problem, and box 12 is the date you first realized that that problem was due to work. So you actually have 3 years from box 12 to report your injury. Now, a lot of people don't know that. So 3 years from the date you knew this was work-related. And you don't have to see the doctor first, but you can see the doctor first. And you can take a CA-2 with you and fill it out with the doctor.
Does that answer your call?
Does that help?
Question, caller?
I think so. What about the box 11? I mean, the date you first became aware of the illness.
Yeah, so,
I mean, it's an occurring thing.
Yeah, you're going to have to get as close as you can and on your estimation. When is it? I have a back, a bad back. And I've had a bad back for the last couple of years. And so I'm dealing with pain for 2 years. But today I wake up and I'm thinking, if I didn't have to lift 70 pounds all day long, I'll bet my back wouldn't.
Right.
I think this is work-related.
Right.
So today I realized it was work-related. So you get close on the date that you first became aware of the illness or the disease or the injury. And then the date you knew it was work-related is easy to figure out. You just have to get
close. I've had some injections already in that knee. Should I go back to at least the first date I had any kind of treatment on that knee?
Well, it's going to be really hard for me to tell you what dates to pick. Just know that the first date is when you first realize you had pain, and the second date is when you realize that pain is because of work. And there's almost no way I could tell you what dates to put there. You just have to get really close.
I get a kick out of trying to explain that form to employees, and they always give me this look like, I don't want to scam the post office, and it kind of throws me back. So I'm thinking, what makes you think I'm trying to scam the post office? So, but whenever we talk about a CA-2, employees, particularly mail handlers, just refuse to believe that pre-existing conditions that were exacerbated or caused by your current work condition is what that form is for.
That's exactly right. And if you don't take advantage of that and you just suffer through it, I tell this to people all the time. It comes across differently when I'm telling letter carriers, but I first started telling carriers, how are you going to make it to retirement if you can't make it to my door to deliver the next package? You can't ignore this. And, how are you going to make it to retirement if you can't make it to the next shift or through the next shift? And so it's not a scam. This is a right afforded to federal employees. Take advantage of the right. And if not, this thing takes advantage of you.
Okay. That's bringing us to the end of our podcast today. Yeah, I'd like to thank all the callers and everyone who listened to it live on Blog Talk Radio. Again, I'm relatively certain that Jeannie, Chris, and I We'll get together and try to put together some kind of routine where we continue to update and educate postal mail handlers or federal employees altogether. I want to say on behalf of Hodge the Hodge on Block Talk Radio, Chris and Jenny, I really appreciate you coming out. And I'm going to give you the last words before we go off.
Well, the last word for me is just back what I said just a second ago. Like, don't ignore your injuries. It's not a scam. You got to take care of yourself because nobody else is going to take care of you. And when management doesn't want you to file an injury, you're still the only one that's hurt. And instead of being replaceable with the next new person that gets hired, get help, and because it's your right to get help.
Your last words, Jenny.
Well,
oh, Jeannie.
Yeah, good night, Ohio.
Okay. Hey, thank you all the callers for calling in, and appreciate you, Brother Rob, for coming in, sharing your insight also.
Yeah, it was really good talking with you all tonight.
All right. Good evening, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right.